papers while I was writing my notes down, and she said, somehow we were talking, and I said, I'm going to be preaching about Esther. And she said, well, that's what I'm going to be talking about. I said, well, you better watch out. You're walking on holy ground there. Amen. But praise God. You know, the Super Bowl is going to happen whether we like it or not, or whether we're interested or not. But the game I'm going to talk about today is the mind games. Mind games. How many of you have games happening in your mind? Things going on in here. Amen. And the book of Esther talks about four different people that are key individuals. And I'm going to give them names here in a little bit and kind of address them spiritually. But let me pray. Father, I pray right now, the Lord, that you open our minds and our hearts. The Father, the Lord, that this scripture here today, Father, just speak to us and give us encouragement over some of the things that we battle with in our minds. I pray right now, Father, for the hearts and the minds of your people. The Father, the Lord, we would line up with everything you have for us. And the Father, that our minds be able to start listening to the greatness of your Holy Spirit and your guidance. And that, Lord, the things of this world would become strangely dim in the light of your glory. I pray that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. So in the book of Esther, there's four different individuals. Amen. First of all, there's Haman. As Sister Crystalin said, he was evil. He was a deceiver. He was full of pride. He only wanted things his way, and he wanted to be lifted up. He wanted to be noticed. He wanted to be recognized, and that's what he wanted. And if you stop and you think a little bit about that, who had that same character when he presented himself before God? I think people should worship me. I think people should be bowing down to me. And so in other words, the voice that we hear in our mind is a lot of the evil, just like Haman in this story. So Haman was out to destroy what God wanted to do. How many of you realize that the enemy is out to destroy what God wants to do in your life? By putting and planting things in your head, he's always out to destroy whatever the Lord is working on. So the next person we have here is Esther. And Esther represents our emotions. She represents how we feel, the fear, some of the disappointment, the discouragement, or sometimes we're put in positions that we feel inadequate about. But sometimes we know what we need to do and we listen and we obey, but it's the emotional part of us. How many of you sometimes can say, yes, there's sometimes my emotions get the best of me? Or sometimes my emotions lead me to the place where I can make good choices and decisions as well. The next one is Mordecai. Amen? Mordecai, as we're reading this story, is the Holy Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit working on our behalf. The Holy Spirit speaking to us and giving us guidance, giving us direction, showing us that God is with us. And that God is working out plans and ideas, and his plan and his desire for us is for good things. So how many of you sometimes hear the Holy Spirit speaking on your behalf, giving you guidance, encouragement, sometimes when we're down or you're facing difficulty, but the Holy Spirit is there to encourage you and uplift you and tell you, don't worry, God's in control. Maybe all of this is happening for a reason. And you know what? Just trust God. Because sometimes we go through things that are discouraging. And they get frustrating. And it affects us. It affects our minds. It affects our person. It messes with us in ways. But you know what? Through it all, we've got to be able to trust that God has a plan and he's working on our behalf. The fourth character of this is King. I call him Xerxes because it's easier to say. Sister Crystalin shared his full name, Ahasasa, or something like that, okay? A la papa con salsa. Amen? But it's easy to say King Xerxes, amen? Well, anyway, King Xerxes is us. The ability to make the choice, the ability to evaluate what's going on, and being able to listen to the voices that are going on in our heads and being able to identify things. But the thing is, we've got to understand that evil sometimes presents itself very good. Amen? In fact, let's turn to Esther chapter 3, I believe. She almost got there. I'm glad she skipped over this. Crystalline, I was watching you. I was going to call for timeout, or I was going to throw the penalty flag or the red flag. What do they call it? What's the red flag for in football? Challenge. I was going to throw you the challenge flag, sister. Amen. In Esther chapter 3, verse 2, and then we're going to jump to verse 5 and 6. And it says, "And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him." Amen. "But Mordecai would not bow down or pay homage. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage," amen, "Haman was filled with wrath." It says, "But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone." In other words, he was ready to lay hands on him. How many of you realize that pride or arrogance can get you to the point that you think, you know what, I'm in the right and everybody else is in the wrong? And see, the one part that I forgot to mention here is the scripture where Haman was given recognition, or he was put second in command over the kingdom. Amen? So Haman became very arrogant, and he said, you know what, people should be bowing down to me. I'm a high-level guy. And you know, when Haman would come, people would see him coming, and they'd say, here comes Haman. How many of you realize that sometimes we bow down to the evil in our lives? We surrender to it. We give homage to it. But see, Mordecai didn't. And when they found out about it, in fact, it says here, "For they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were thought throughout the whole kingdom." Amen? The people of Mordecai. So in other words, because what Mordecai was doing, Haman, the evil individual, not only wanted to get rid of Mordecai, but he wanted to get rid of everything that was important to him. Doesn't that sound familiar? See, the enemy sometimes can't come against you. See, Haman wanted to lay his hands on Mordecai, but you know what? He knew that if he did it, he'd become a spectacle. So what he did, he planned out a plan. And I want you to know that the enemy is working in the same way that he did with Mordecai. He's working against each one of us. Sometimes he can't touch you. Why? Because we're covered by the Lamb. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You know, we're people of prayer. We soak in His presence. God is with us. He says, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But see, the enemy makes plans to try to come in different ways to get to you. See, Mordecai loved his people. He was proud to be called a Jew. And Haman knew that if he could get to Mordecai, he couldn't get to him, so he'd attack his people. How many of you realize that some of the people that the enemy is attacking is your family or those that are close to you? And that's why it's so important that we cover our family, our children, our loved ones, those that are important to us, or even those that are not. We pray for them and cover them with the presence of Almighty God. Amen? Because if we pray, God hears the prayers. Even like Sister Jerry said this morning when she was in the middle of worship, I know my God is here. I know our God is hearing because we've called. And it says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So whenever there is praise, when you're praising God and you're exalting Him, guess what? You're inviting Him in. And I thank the worship team for the leading us into that place where the presence of God is welcomed in this place. That's why it's so important that we come with readiness to worship, readiness to give praise to God, that we lay down our agenda. Did I leave the beans on? Did I leave this? Or thinking of all the stuff in our house or things that just come to us. Sometimes, you know, the enemy will try to distract us or rob us from the presence of God. How does he try to draw you away? How does he try to distract you? Because the thing is, we've got to be able to say, my God is in control. My God has a purpose and a plan for me. In other words, Haman is saying this, but Mordecai is standing with righteousness. How many of you need to listen to the voice of righteousness, the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to us, saying, don't worry. Right now there is trouble. Right now there is struggles. But you know what? God has a plan. God has a plan. Amen? So through this plan, amen, the enemy is always going to work against the Holy Spirit. It doesn't like what the Lord is doing in your life. The enemy wants to destroy or distract us from anything that God is doing. Amen? And sometimes he's pretty good at it, isn't he? But you know what? When we're doing God's work, God takes recognition in that. And he'll lift you up. You know? I am so grateful that God doesn't leave us where we're at in the midst of struggle or in the midst of turmoil, but he knows how to lift our heads up. You know, well, Pastor Gail was just showing me that our little blazing blue, or what are they called? The flaming blues from some of the girls here at the church, the younger girls are part of that cheer group, and they took first in their competition. Amen? Isn't that an honor? Amen? It's a great thing. You know, Brother Richard last week, I was going to mention it, and kind of got spaced out. But anyway, Brother Richard at his work, I don't know if you've ever gone to Smith's. How many of you have gone shopping there and seen Brother Richard in action? Amen? You know what? He's such a joy. He's such a joy, and he welcomes everybody. It doesn't matter. In fact, the funny thing is just when we were reading, me and my wife were reading about it on Facebook, that he had gotten recognized because of his customer service. His friendliness. And you know, it was funny because we had just read about it and we went shopping and we're going around in the shopping cart and we hear Brother Richard's voice say to a gentleman, because the lines were long and I guess he was helping with the self-checkout or whatever it is. And he says, come right over here, bro. Let me help you out. And there's an older man and he was probably intimidated from the checkout, right? Because some of people, I'm like that. I don't all this stuff and have to run it through there. Anyway, we hear him and he says, I'll help you with it. Don't worry about it, sir. Come on over here, bro. You know, but that's the thing. When we're doing things for God, it doesn't matter because it says that we ought to do all things as we're doing them for the Lord. So if our little girls are dancing, dance like you're doing it for God. Be the best out there. If you're at a grocery store and you're working there, be the best you can be. Be the best police officers. Be the best individuals, the plumbers. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it as unto God. That's what the Lord requires. And his desire is for us. But know that the enemy is working to distract us or cause us to be under the influence of discouragement or all these other things so that we get caught up and we're not ourselves. The Lord wants you to gleam with the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's jump to Esther 4:1 now. So now Mordecai has come against and he put out a decree to destroy the Jews. It says, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went on into the midst of the city. It says in verse, I think from there I'd go to 13, and he cried out with a loud voice and bitter cry. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther. This is the part, because this is when it all happened. This is verse 13. And this is when Esther said, well, why is Mordecai? What's happening with Mordecai? Why is he out there in sackcloth? Why is he in mourning? And it says that Esther sent somebody to find out. And then when they found out, and they finally found out, it says, this is what Mordecai had to say. And he said, told them to Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom? This is a powerful verse for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. Amen. So in other words, when Esther first found out that Mordecai wanted her to go and address the king, she said, this is what she said. These are the emotional parts of our lives. When Mordecai told Esther, what you need to do, you need to go and talk to the king. Esther right away said, you know what, Mordecai, I can't do that. Because you know what? If I position myself before the king and he hasn't called me, he can call my death, so basically a death sentence upon me. My life can be taken from me if I go before the king. And that's when Mordecai responded to this. But see, a lot of times we feel like we can't go before the Lord. We can't go and make choices or decisions because our emotions get the best of us in our head. How many of you have disqualified yourself from doing something great in the kingdom of God because you feel you're not worthy? See, a lot of times the enemy will come and he'll try to discourage you or rob you emotionally so that God can use you. We say to ourselves, but you know what? You don't know me. You don't know what I was. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what thoughts go through my head. But the Lord is saying, you know what? I know you. And I know everything about you. And I do not disqualify you, because when I look at you, I don't see your failures. I see the blood of the Lamb on you. I see that you're a heart that has surrendered to the cross. I see that you're one that believes in the resurrection. And because you do, you belong to me. And therefore, all of these negative emotions and all these negative things that go on in your head, you need to hush them down. You need to tell them, you know what? There's a scripture that says that we have to take captives our thoughts. There's some thoughts that come in here that try to rob you or separate you or distract you from what God wants in your life. I want you to know that I stand up here, and it doesn't mean I'm exempt from this. Because there's sometimes, you know what, thoughts go through my mind where, you know what, I start doubting and I start getting concerned. But the thing about it is, those emotions need to yield or bow their knee to who God is in our lives. Amen? And that's what Mordecai is saying. Mordecai, the Holy Spirit, is saying to Esther, Esther, listen to what you're saying. Who put you in that position as queen? Who allowed you to be selected from all those beautiful girls to be the queen if it wasn't God? And now you're saying you can't do something for God? He's saying, remember, Esther, everything that God has done for you. And then put on the mind of Christ and start walking in the way that God has called you to walk, and don't walk in the mind of defeat. But start walking in the mind of victory. You know, both teams that are playing today for the Super Bowl have come a long way. They started the season just like everybody else. They did the off-season thing, and they recruited, and they did everything else. But now they've lined up, and through the season, they've proven themselves to be able to be worthy to play at this level. Some of us might be saying, but you know what, there was some bad calls. And there was some bad calls. But you know what? They're representing both sides of the AFC and the NFC. And these teams are coming together. They've worked hard, they prepared, they've done everything. But you know what's amazing is one of them is going to be victorious and the other one is going to go home defeated. And see, that's the way it is with the things that go on in our minds. We can choose to listen to the voices in our heads that are going to cause victory to come our way or defeat. And spiritually, we've got to be able to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be able to identify the voice of God in our minds. And how do you do that, you may ask? But you know how you do that? Spend time in the presence of God. Spend time in His Word. Spend time around Him. Know the voice of God. Know the voice of God. When he speaks, everybody listens. Kind of like that old E.F. Hutton commercial, remember? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. I don't even know who E.F. Hutton was, but that was a commercial back in the day. The thing is, we've got to know the voice of God and what he says to us. Because if not, we can entertain all these other thoughts and we can become captivated by our emotions or by even the evil that is spoken sometimes in our minds. Amen? So it's very important that we listen to what God is saying. Esther had to make a choice, just like each and every one of us, to either listen to the discouragement or the things that cause you to fear, or be able to say, Lord, I hear you and I want to obey you. Because you know what? There is a battle going on in your mind. There's a battle that we face daily. And I want today to be a Super Bowl Sunday for you, where your mind is victorious because you've chosen to listen to the voice of a mighty God and not the voice of fear or surrender or disappointment or discouragement. Because our God comes to lift you up where you're at so that you can have victory in your life. How do you know? How do you know that, Pastor? Because I've seen what God can do if we yield to the voice of God. I have seen the power of God. I have seen the answers to the powerful prayers of people in the presence of God. God is a good God. He's a mighty God. Even like we were worshiping this morning, everything that we were exalting God, when he moves, he comes with power. He changes circumstances and situations. But you know what? We've got to be a people that are yielding to the voice of God and know the voice of God, desire the voice of God. Because if not, we can easily fall away. And this is what Esther's response was. And I really believe it's important that we listen. It's in between 13 and 16, the verses there in Esther 4. Esther said to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. How many of you are willing to say, I am willing to do what is right in the eyes of God, no matter what it costs? Esther was basically saying, I'm willing to put my life on the line. If I die, if the king says, you know what, off with her head, I'm willing to accept that. But I'm going to do it because you know what, I'm doing what is right. In other words, obedience was more important to her than emotion. I'm going to say that again. Obedience to her was more important than emotion. A lot of us sometimes, we are moved by our emotions and we're not driven by obedience. God's desire is that we be obedient unto his voice, his command, his order. And the thing about it is we need to come to that place where we say, I don't care what it costs, Lord. I will do what you're calling me to do. I was sharing the other day, I can't remember, I think it was with the Tuesday group. You know how sometimes the Lord places something in your heart that you need to say, and it feels so out of place, and it doesn't feel good. It feels like the timing's wrong. It feels like, you know what, I shouldn't say this now. Well, I was called to do a service, a funeral service for this man. I didn't know the man. I didn't know the family. They asked me to come and do it. Well, one of the things I like to do is sit with the family before I do a funeral so I can get to know the individual and make it personalized. Well, when I got there, these four brothers were probably some of the biggest drug dealers in the area. And they had asked me to do the funeral for their father, which was okay with me. I was fine with that. But I'm sitting there, and during the time of discussion, the main brother, the older brother, he had two of his big buddy guards with him, big guys. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening. I'm taking notes about the dad, what a good dad he was, and I'm writing all this. All of a sudden, the Lord lays in my heart, you need to tell him that he needs to get his life right. I'm sitting there, and I said, Lord, I don't think that's you. I hope that's not you, Lord. And I was there by myself. And the Lord let me know again, you need to let him know his life needs to change. He needs to step up. Sometimes when the Lord lays something in your heart, it's not the easiest thing to do. And I struggled with it, I'll be honest with you. Finally, I looked at the young man that was sitting there with these guys, and I looked at him and I said, you know what? Your dad was really rough on you, wasn't he? And he looked at me, and I said, I know why. And he put his head down, and one other guy stepped down between me and kind of put his hand on my shoulder like, that's enough. But he pushed him back, and he said, it's okay. And I said, you're the oldest of the brothers. All of your brothers look up to you. And your dad wants you to know you're responsible for you're leading them. The kind of life that you're choosing, is that what you want for your brothers? He started to weep. The other guy stood between me. So I stopped, left it alone. I said what I was supposed to say, right? The younger brother was sitting here next to me. He grabbed me by the leg and he said, he needed to hear that. I said, okay, I have one on my side. Well, anyway, through the process, I said, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a big day for you guys, and I'd like to pray for you. So we stood up. So I stood up, and the buddy guard, the big guy that was there, was standing here, and he grabbed my hand, and but the guy said, moved him aside, and he came and he grabbed my hand, and he says, I heard what you said. So I prayed. But the thing is, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to be obedient to God. It's difficult. It's difficult. See, Esther was put in the same predicament where she needed to go and tell the king what was going on. And Mordecai was saying, Esther, you got to go do it. See, sometimes the Holy Spirit is telling us, you got to speak. You got to say what needs to be said. And it's not easy, but you got to do it. But see, the battle is inside that head. It's going on because you know what? When I was there and I was thinking of all the things that could happen, they weren't good things. I said, man, these guys take me out right here. Who knows what could happen? But see, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I'm willing to do what the Lord wants me to do. And because she stood up and she did what the Lord commanded, something great happened. Let's go to Esther 5. I think it's verse 9. It says, so Haman went out that day joyful because Esther had invited him to Crystal and said, she invited him to dinner. She found favor with the king. And she said, King, I want you to come and invite Haman. So they both show up. Amen. And so Haman was so excited that he got invited. And then the queen said, you know what, tomorrow night I'm going to cook dinner for you guys. How many of you realize if you tell a man to show up for dinner, he most likely will? Don't they say the way to the heart of a man is through his stomach? So anyway, It says that, so Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when he went out, he saw Mordecai. And he says that he was at the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him. In other words, he's still saying, you know what? I'm a good man. I'm powerful. I'm great. And Mordecai, this guy just bothers me. He never acknowledges me as the king's right-hand man. It bothered him. It says that he goes on. I'm not going to read this. I'll go faster if I just kind of say it. So he goes home, and he's telling his family and some of his friends there, he's telling them, you know what? I am so great, and I feel so good because I got invited by the queen to go to dinner tomorrow. Tomorrow, just me and the king before the queen. He goes, but man, does it bother me when I walk outside and there's Mordecai and he doesn't pay any attention to me. He doesn't even look at me. He doesn't bow down. He doesn't acknowledge me. He goes, what should I do? And the people that were there said, you know what you should do, Haman? Is make some gallows and make them tall, 50, 75 feet tall. Make them high. And you know what? Hang Mordecai on them. You know what? What the Lord was doing on the other side? Here Haman is evil, trying to kill and remember, destroy what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Understand that the Holy Spirit is working on your behalf even when there's evil all around you. Amen? So Mordecai, God is working on the other side. And that night, the king couldn't sleep. It says that he was bothered in his sleep. That's the Holy Spirit moving. It bothered him to a point that he got up and he couldn't sleep. How many of you have had those nights where you can't sleep, so you get up? So he said, he brought in one of his people, and he said, bring in the files, bring in the reports of the kingdom, and start reading me some stories. So they started reading. And in the process of reading the story, it comes up that Mordecai, there was two individuals that were plotting to kill the king at one time. And Mordecai found out about it, and he told the king. He went and told the king, you know what, king? There's two men that are trying to kill you. And in fact, he said, stop there. And he said, did we ever do anything for Mordecai for doing that? And they said, no, you never honored him. He said, you know what, we should honor him. So, Esther 5, verse 9. So, guess who, because he was so excited that he had gotten the gallows built. So he goes, he's excited that night, and he shows up really early, because it's probably about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock when the king was walking around. And guess who's outside? It's Haman outside the door. He's saying, man, I can hardly tell the king I'm gonna kill Mordecai. I'm gonna destroy that guy because you know what? I'm gonna hang him and I'm gonna humiliate him. So all of a sudden the king says, are any of my wise men out there or my leaders out there? And he said, Haman just showed up. He said, bring him in here. But this is what he says. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed? Oh, I'm sorry, let me skip that. I already talked about that. It says, let me find it here. It says, so he brought him in and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart that it was him. So it says, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? So Haman starts answering the king. He says, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought around him, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has the king's most noble prince. And it says that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor, then parade him on the horse throughout the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. It says, then the king said to Haman. So in other words, Haman is telling him how he would like to be honored. Then the king says to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse. And as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew who sits within the king's gate, leaving nothing undone of all you have spoken. Isn't that amazing? Here Haman wanted to kill Mordecai, and now he walks out with orders from the king that he has to put him on a horse and on a robe and then walk around saying, this is how God honors good people. This is how God honors good people. And as he's walking, can you imagine how he felt? It tore him up. But see, evil will never prevail over righteousness or goodness. See, the enemy will try to use plots to destroy you, but God will use him to uplift you. That is a powerful, powerful story. Because see, that's the battle that goes in our minds sometimes. And we're listening to the good, we're listening to the bad. And sometimes emotionally we get all confused. And we don't know what to do. But if you lean to the right, if you trust God, if you hear his voice, no matter how much evil or discouragement is around you, God will work it all for good for those who put their trust in him. You know what's beautiful about that? Crystalline touched a little on it. From there, that second dinner that they had together with Haman, Esther exposed his plan. Haman was so put in a spot that he started pleading for Esther, saying, Esther, you got to tell the king not to kill me, not to kill me. The king walks back in, sees him at her feet, and says, are you trying to humiliate my queen in my own house? And he said, you know what, Haman? You're going to get destroyed tonight. And one of the people that was there said, you know what, king? He had some gallows built to kill Mordecai. In fact, they're really high. They're 75 feet high. He said, take him and hang him on those gallows. So his own life was destroyed on the thing that he had built to destroy the man of God. See, the enemy works to try to destroy, but the Lord uses his plots, his buildings, His strategies to destroy him. Even though we are in the midst of it, emotionally involved, like Esther, what should we do? I don't know. I could go over there. He might kill me. Mordecai's over here. You better go. Your people are going to kill you if you don't. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of all this. And it's a difficult place to be. And that's why I called it mind games. Mind games. But what voice are you listening today? I want this to be a Super Bowl Sunday for you. I want the voice of God to come forward in such a way that you know that your God is working on your behalf. That you know what, no matter what your battle is in your mind, you know what? God is working a perfect plan for you so that you can be victorious. How many can say amen to that? You know what? Everything that the enemy is using against you is going to be turned and used against him. Amen? How many of you have heard Jesus defeated the enemy with a big, ugly stick? You know what? What the enemy thought he was destroying him on became the greatest weapon that he used to destroy him. Because now people look at the cross, which was meant for evil. Now they look at it and it says, that's where my Redeemer paid the price for me. My Redeemer shed the blood on that cross for me. So everything the enemy uses, God is using to destroy him. So sometimes you need to be able to say in the midst of that mind game, in the midst of that battle, how is God going to use all of this to let me rise up and be his son? Or his daughter? How is he going to glorify me? How is he going to get the accuser out of my way and be able to exalt me? Because you know what? We've been saying, this is the year that the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? It's time to see victories and victories and victories in our lives. But you know what? We as a people need to be able to say, I may be going through it, but I know I'm not staying here. God has a victory for me, but I'm going to pursue after it. I'm going to run hard after my God. How many of you can say, I want to see the favor of God in this year? How many of us really want to just thank Him for what we have? Like Jerry said this morning, I just was driving and there was tears of joy because of everything the Lord has done. How many of us can say, look at what the Lord has done? See, the enemy comes to rob and steal and destroy and make you think God hasn't done anything for you. He's a liar. He's a liar. Sometimes you need to stop and say, man, look at what God has done. You know, God is, He's such a good God. And you know the construction He's doing in you? Sometimes it might not look like it's going to look. So you know what? Remember, God's not done with me yet. I'm under construction. You know what? Sometimes you got to put that little rope around you, say, caution. Caution. I'm under construction. There's still some stuff in here that needs to get thrown out, and there's some stuff that needs to get built up, and I still need a little bit of trim work and some paint, but it's okay because I'm getting there. I'm under construction because God's doing a good work in me. He who has begun a good work in me is faithful to complete it. How many can say amen with that? Let's stand up this morning and worship the Lord. Amen? I want this to be a Super Bowl Sunday. I want this to be a time that you hear the voice of God like you've never heard it before. Amen? I don't know if you're for the Rams or for the Saints. I mean, no, I'm sorry. I'm for the Saints too. Or for New England. I'm sorry because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's for New England. But you know what? I don't know who you're for, but I know who's for you. Your God paid a price for each and every one of us, and He wants you to be victorious. Remember, in the mind games, there are things that are going on, but we've got to identify the power of our God, the power of who He is. How many can say amen to that? You know what? Sometimes when you're in the midst of it, it's hard to see a victory when you feel defeated. How many can say amen to that? It's hard to see victory when there's discouragement all around you. But you know what? Remember, it's a mind game. It's a mind game. God's not done with you yet. Call on Him. Call on Him and hear His voice. Everything that is working for evil is going to be changed for good because I choose to trust in Him. Says in the scriptures that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a God that says, you are my son, you are my daughter. I am with you. I am with you every step of the way. Says that He is a light unto our path. Sometimes we don't know where to walk. God says, I'm going to light your path so you know every step you take is ordered of God. Because sometimes, you know what? Where you're at is not where you're going to be tomorrow. But it's hard to see the victory. It's hard. But God is saying, I love my people. And I am going to give them guidance. And victory is coming their way. This morning as you come for your communion, just say, I am coming because I'm done with mind games. I'm letting my Super Bowl, my hero, my Lord, Jesus, have the victory today. Let Jesus just bless you this morning. Let Him show you favor like He's never shown you before. Come this morning as the worship team leads us. Praise God.